Would you turn with me quickly to Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians and chapter 5. Now, girls, the first thing I want to remind you of tonight is that God's Word says in Matthew 19:5 and back in Genesis, this is just a quote from Genesis, that in marriage, two become one by the shedding of blood. And that these two that become one, that the husband is the head, and we're going to read this in a moment, and that the wife is the body. Just like Jesus is the head of his wife, his bride, the church. And the church is his body, and we are individual members of that body in particular. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us. Now, begin with me, if you will. Girls, here's what I want to tell you. We studied about Adam and Eve, and Satan got in there and destroyed the first family. He wrecked it. And as a result of destroying them, even one of their children killed one of their other children. It was a horror story. We studied it. It was one of the most horrible stories that I've ever read. And I read that for a purpose. Girls, hear me. Satan is still trying to destroy families because Satan hates you. He hates you because you're God's, and he hates you and hates your family. He's the enemy of the family, and he wants to destroy your family just like he destroyed Eve's. And he wants, and to do this, he has no imagination. He's going to use the same tactics to destroy your family as he used to destroy Eve's on the first family. How did he do it? He came to Eve to try and get her to free herself from out from under Adam as her Bible teacher, Adam as her head. He tempted her to act independent of Adam and to make independent decisions without Adam, especially independent spiritual decisions without Adam. And yet, God had told them the two were supposed to be one. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, God, Satan is tempting you girls to be independent of your husband, to be independent of God, to be independent of your husband and make decisions that are spiritual decisions without your husband. Now, of course, sometimes there's a problem here if the husband is not saved, and that's another problem. But there's a chain, a straight line, straight to God. And God wants you to really act as one. Let's see this in Ephesians chapter 5. Begin with me at verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, that means that all Christians are supposed to be submissive to all people at all times. That means we're supposed to have a gentle, meek, humble heart attitude toward them, no matter what they tell us. But it doesn't mean we have to do everything that's said. If they tell us to sin against God, we must submit. That is, we are submissive in our attitude. We don't respond to them by telling them, "Oh, you'll go to hell for that." Now, there's a way to tell people they may end up in hell, but you don't have to do it with venom and vengeance. You know, like, "Ha, ha, ha, you're going to end up in hell." But rather, in the love of God, you can warn someone about hell. But submissiveness is heart attitude. Wives, verse 22. Now that you know this, girls, you can read verse 22 and not get uptight. You remember when you used to read this, something went off inside you, you know, a little, tight, your stomach got nervous and tight. But now that you really understand from previous lessons what the word submission really means, you can enjoy it. Now, observe, it says, wives, submit. Now, the scripture last night says, husbands, love. Now, fellas, that means we're supposed to love them into doing this because we are the head of the family. We must take the initiative. The one in authority must take the first step. We must love our wives into this. Then this is the response that God wants to bring out of the wife. Now, wife, you must will to do it. You must submit your will first to God so that you can submit to your husband. All right? But God doesn't want you doing this legalistically. He wants you to do it through agape yourselves. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Look at this. As unto the Lord. Uh-oh. Hey, now, girls, come on. Boy, you've said things to your husband you wouldn't think of saying to the Lord. But this says, as unto the Lord. And it's a capital L. It means Jesus. What I want you girls to understand is, when you bad lip back, you're speaking straight to the Lord. Because there's the chain of authority. And when you come against someone above you in authority, you come against everyone in the chain above them. You say, "I don't believe that." Yes, you do. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, Jesus said. Saul could have said, "Jesus, I haven't done a thing to you. It's just those smelly Christians." those smelly Christians were under Jesus' authority in the chain of command. And so when you got hold of one of the ones underneath him, you stuck your finger in Jesus' eye. He said, you know the old statement in the Old Testament, you stick your finger in Jehovah's eye. It goes all the way to the top of the chain. Gosh, Brother Floyd, I didn't know that. Yeah, I know. All right? So you need to know this. So what I'm saying is that whoever's at the top of the chain is going to discipline you girls. You say, Brother Floyd, what do you mean discipline me? The last time you did that, did you notice how bad things were around the house for a while? That's discipline. I mean, was it fun going to bed that night? Was it fun cooking dinner? You know? Was it fun sitting around that quiet house? No. That's discipline. And inside, your stomach was churning. God says, I don't want you guys to have bleeding ulcers. Submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Well, that settled it, girls. There it is, black and white. I don't make the rules. I just read them. All my job is to show you where it says it. Well, that settled it. Now, husband, since God said it, you can relax. You don't have to go prove it to anybody. God said it. That settled it forever. Praise the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's our little drawing. And he is the Savior of the body. Now, let me say this about that. I want you to notice that these verses are comparing Christ to the husband. And these verses are telling us this, that everything Christ is to his wife, the church, so the husband is to the wife to a lesser degree, but the principle is the same. Do you see that? It's a comparison. He says, now, just like I'm the head of my wife, the church, so you fellows are the head of your wife, the family, your human family. And then it says here that he is the Savior of the body. He said, now, wait a minute, Brother Floyd, I didn't save my wife. Well, now, what does that mean? Remember what Jesus did? Jesus purchased you girls by giving you, and us guys too, of course, but I'm speaking specifically to the girls, Jesus purchased you, how? By giving you his life. By providing you for you, not only for in this life, but in the life to come. He has provided for you by giving you his life. And he protects you in the chain of authority through agape. Even so, exactly like that, God is comparing and says the husband is the Savior of the body. Now, that doesn't mean eternal salvation. He's talking about a saving of the flesh, so to speak. I'm groping for a word. Deliverance. Like this, girls, your husband has purchased you also in that he has given you his life. He has committed his life to you and to provide for you and to protect you in agape. Exactly like Jesus in principle, you understand. And so, beloved, your husband is the Savior of your body. You'd starve to death. You'd get some man, listen, you'd run out there all by yourself, some man call you off in the woods. But your husband's there to protect and to provide for you in love. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the husbands don't do it in love, do they? But that isn't God's fault. God's plan was that we would do it. See, God loves us. His plan is beautiful. Unfortunately, we husbands have free wills. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is submissive or subject to Christ, even so let the wives be to their own husbands, look at this, girls, in everything. Now, it doesn't say blind obedience in everything, but as far as you can be obedient, you should be, but in everything you must be submissive. Now, observe again, it was a comparison of Christ to the church, his wife, and you to your husband, a perfect parallelism, although the husband, of course, is much to a lesser degree. Now, this means, girls, that in everything he says, you should be submissive. The right heart attitude. If he tells you, you know, to go get drunk, you must submit, but you don't have to do it. You don't have to obey, but you must submit. That means you say, darling, I love you, but I just can't do that because God doesn't want me to, and I love you, but I love God more. God's head, he's the head of my heart. And if you're gentle with it and loving, then you're submissive. But if you say, why, you sot, the very idea, thus says the Lord, you know, and you start quoting 50 tons of scripture at him and hurling anathemas at him, which means cursings, you know, cursings from God. Throw a lightning bolt down on him, God. No, no, man, you need to be praying for him and interceding for him. Even though he's the family priest, it's obvious he isn't going to intercede. You'd better. Okay? Because, girls, even though he's the family priest, you also are a priest before God. All right? Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, Jesus Christ liberated women from slavery to Satan, slavery to sin, and slavery to the law. You don't have to be legalistic anymore. Only your old sin nature ever wanted to be legalistic anyway. And he set you free, but what did he set us free for, girls? Hear me. To follow him. He set you free to follow him and his instructions. And God has called you, girls, to be a help meet, we read in Genesis, a help to meet his needs, to complete the man. And so God calls on you, girls, hear me, to become dependent of your own free will on your husband. You say, how does he do that, Floyd? Let me tell you how he does it. When you came into this world, girls, you were little bitty babes, and you were totally dependent, weren't you? I mean, you'd have starved to death if mom and dad just left you sitting there. But they nurtured you, cared for you, protected you, provided for you, loved you. And so you grew up under the authority, hopefully, ideally, in a Christian home, with a Christian daddy, the head of that family. Now, this is God's plan for Christians. This is the family plan. Of course, God's plan is that everybody would be a Christian. But we have free will. And that you grew up under your daddy's authority. And daddy would be under the authority of Christ, who is under the authority of Father, and therefore you were under Father's authority through your daddy. Then one day, you came to an altar before God. And your daddy took your hand and put it in the hand of a man. That was the transference of authority. Your dad took your hand and placed it in your husband's hand, and at that moment, you, in God's view, were placed under the authority of your husband, where you had been under the authority of your daddy. In other words, girls, in God's plan, there's always to be a man over you, always, to protect you and to provide for you in love. Sometimes that man may have to be Jesus. Sometimes it may be Jesus through the elders of the church to help you as a widow, possibly, in financial things and problems like that when you don't know how to handle it. So God wants you girls to, of your own free will, become dependent. When you took that man's hand from your father, that's what you were supposed to be saying. And that from that moment on, you would depend on him, just like all of us are supposed to do with Christ. When we come to Jesus for salvation, what we are doing is giving up of our own free will, our independent sinful life, our life of being an independent creature, doing our own thing, but we really weren't. We were really Satan's slaves doing his thing. We were deceived into thinking we were independent doing our own thing. And that when we accepted Jesus, in effect, we were taking him by the hand because we became betrothed. Betrothed, engaged, with the bride. All right? Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? And of your own free will, you submitted to Jesus as your head, to become dependent on Jesus. I hope that's how you girls are. You're dependent on Jesus. Now, he's got you dependent on Jesus through your husband. But you can also, praise God, go direct to the throne in your own prayer time for yourself. But in family matters, the two of you need to be together. Now, may I be bold? Girls, you took that man's name. You took his name. Like you took Jesus' name. You said, what do you mean I took Jesus' name? You became a Christian, a Christian. You took his name. You became a child of God. You took the name of God for your own. Christian. Now, let me ask you a question, girls. When you took Christ's name, do you really become a new creature when you take Christ's name? Your husband, your spiritual husband, Christ, do you become a new creature when that happens? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we do become new creatures, doesn't it? New creature in that you are now going to depend instead of being independent. And you're not going to cling to your rights anymore. You're going to depend on Christ, submitting yourself to God. Now, you did have a choice, though. And many Christian women today take Christ's name for their own And yet, though they've become new creatures, they won't depend on the Lord. They cling to their rights and their independent attitude. Now, all of you know girls that do that. And some of us have done that. Now, the issue is clear, and I want you to see it. Girls, when you came to Jesus, you were to do one of two things. When you took his name, you were to become a new creature. That meant dependent on him. Or you were going to cling to your rights and maintain your independent attitude. Now, it's obvious then that what you should have done when you took Jesus' name was to become a new creature totally and depend on him. Therefore, girls, when you took your husband's name, you, in the family of God, were to do in your family what you just were supposed to do to Jesus. And that is, give up your independence, your independent attitude, become a new creature, a totally new creature, and depend on the Lord. And, because see, until that moment you had many desires, you had desires, but now Genesis 3:16 says your desires should be toward your husband, not your desires. You now have become a helpmeet. And you're going to subjugate your desires to meet the needs of your husband. May I put it this way boldly? Girls, God says that the way for you to find fulfillment in your life is to help that man fulfill God's commission on his life. And if you will totally throw yourself into that, you will have the most fulfilled life that you can ever imagine. But Satan makes you fear to do that, and so you don't. If you will completely give yourself to your husband as God wants you to, help him to fulfill what God wants him to be, you will find your fulfillment in life and your purpose for existence. For God made the male first and made the female for the male. There is no other option given by God's word. I tell you that not to put you under bondage, but because I believe if God said it, it's wonderful. You see, we hate authority. Our old nature hates authority, and yet the whole Bible teaches that we must be under authority. Therefore, if God teaches it, it must be wonderful, and the fact that we hate it means we must not understand it. Do you see what I'm saying? Praise the living God. And so, beloved, the husband, by these verses, is the family propitiation, the family covering. Now, the husband, if he's got any sense at all, if he's really walking in the Spirit, if he's no longer in his arrogance and pride and ego, the husband realizes he can't handle that. He can't handle being the umbrella, the protector for the wife and children. He can't handle it. So he turns that over to Jesus. Throws Jesus a hot potato. Says, Jesus, you got problems. You gave me my wife. You blessed us with children. And I can't handle it. I can't be the most wonderful daddy in the world. I can't do that and earn a living and be the most wonderful brother to my brothers down at the church, to be the most wonderful brother to my sisters at the church, to be the best Bible teacher, who needs to be the best anyway. I didn't know there was ever competition, right? You know, I can't be all these things. And so once I realize that, it drives me to turn that problem over to Christ as I submit my will to him and stand back all stricken as he begins to produce wonderful works in my family. Now, would you quickly then turn with me? Oh, no, one more verse, girls. Let's read verse 33. Now, this is for both of us. Remember last night as I talked to you fellows, I also talked to you girls. You can't really separate them completely in the Scriptures because you're one. Okay? Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, how much? As himself. I love me. I love me dearly. And it's okay to love me. God loves me. I love everything God loves. I ought to. And God loves me, so I love me. The difference is in the past, I love me with phileo, selfishly, conceited, arrogant. But now I can love me. You know why? Jesus lives in here. He's changing the impurities that are in here. Hey, fellas, that's pretty rough. I know you love yourselves. Our selfish attitudes prove it. Our demanding of our rights in the family, it clearly proves we love ourselves. Right, Abe? Right. Right, Floyd? Right. Right, Brooks? Right. Right, John? Right. Richard? Right. Love your wife as you say, fellas, you'd never speak to yourself in those tones. You'd nearly die if someone said it like that to you. And the wife, see to it that she reverence her husband. Do you see that, girls? It didn't say he had to earn it. It said, see to it you do it. In effect, God says, okay, of your own free will, you married that rascal. Then see to it that you do it. You say, but I can't do it. Right, that's going to drive you to depend on God. God's favorite trick is to drive us to depend on Him. Now then, and I'm reading to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 3. Let the husbands render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband has power over her body. And likewise also the husband does not have power over his own body, but the wife has power over his body, because you're in a mutual submission love pact through Christ in your marriage. Therefore defraud ye not one the other, except it be by mutual consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, so that Satan tempt you not. Now, beloved, let me tell you something very quickly. I counsel with Christians day and night. And the body of Christ has a problem with marital relations between the husband and wife. I counseled with an elder who he and his wife have not had relations in 5 years. And they sleep in the same bed. I could understand it if they were in different rooms or in double beds. That, let me say this very strongly to you. That is sick. It is sin. I counsel with people all. If this offends you, I want to tell you something. Then you're not talking to people. You're not ministering to people. Because when you do, you'll find out this comes up all the time. Beloved, we punish each other with this sin. Husbands and wives punish each other. This is sin. Now you stop that if you're doing it. I have talked in the last 4 months to over 8 families that have been months without knowing each other as man and wife. And they're Christians. It says defraud not one another. Let me tell you what defraud means. Christian women, quit defrauding the men that you work with. Fraud means you seem to have something to sell or give. In other words, I'll be very bold. If you're down on the beach in a teeny-weeny yellow polka dot bikini, or you go to work, or you go to the store dressed with your dress indecent, you are sinning the sin of fraud. You are saying by how you dress, you have something to give away or to sell. And yet when some heathen comes up and approaches you, you feel very offended because you sing in the choir at, you know, First Methodist, First Baptist, First Presbyterian Church. And he goes off bewildered. He doesn't understand. If you're a Christian, then why did you dress like a prostitute? Is what he's saying. You say, Brother Floyd, are you trying to lay down the law about how we can dress, how long our dresses have to be? Are you trying to tell us where's the right length? No, I'm not going to do that. That's between you and God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, flee all appearance of evil. Therefore, if you can see too much, you're guilty of fraud. I counseled with a young man and his wife. She walks around with nothing on and yet does not let him go to bed with her. She is punishing him. That is sick. It is sin. And I love you people enough to tell you what God says about that. Beloved, if you and your family are having these kind of problems, or if you counsel as a Christian with other people about this kind of problem, they will tell you they have a sex problem. Hear me. They do not. They have a spiritual problem in their marriage. And it is manifesting itself as a physical sex problem. Don't get hung up on what appears to be the problem. You must know there's a spiritual problem and call on God to minister to you, to them, that spiritual need. And when the spiritual need has been repented of and faced and met and confessed, the other part, they'll just fall into each other's arms because they've repented. I love you enough to say it. Now then, very quickly, 1 Peter chapter 3. As you're turning to that, let me just say this. Many wives are willing to accept their husband as the family provider and protector, but they balk quite often at turning over the reins of the family to the husband. See, we will accept his provision and protection, but we balk at turning the reins over. Now, that is like a Christian that accepts Christ as his Savior, but never accepts him as Lord. Exactly. I mean, you're saved, but Lord, I'm saved, but don't fool with my life. I mean, I want one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I want fire insurance. Now, those are the most miserable Christians in the world. The Bible calls them carnal. See, the most miserable people in the world are not lost people. They're Christians that will not submit to God. Because the Holy Spirit in them is always convicting us that we're wrong and that we need to repent. And that's the same thing with a wife. The same thing. The Christian that will not let Jesus... See, he is the Lord. That's not the issue. The issue is, will I let him be my Lord? He's already my Savior, but Lord, there's this little thing I don't want to give up. And there's this I don't want to give up. And this and this, that's CS, not Lordship. And so the comparison... Let me put it this way. You cannot make Christ Lord. He already is. You cannot make your husband Lord with a little L of your family because according to the Bible, he already is by divine decree. The only issue is, are we going to enjoy it? See, Jesus is the Lord, whether we let him rule and master our lives or not. And it's going to be so much more fun in your marriage if you let your husband be your Lord with a little L. And fellas, as we said before, you're going to get in trouble, and I get in trouble when I try to be Lord with the big L, because that's Jesus' job. Hallelujah. And so, let's look here then at chapter 3. Likewise, now, I don't have time tonight, but you girls and fellas, if you'll begin reading at verse 18 and read through 23 in chapter 2, you'll get what likewise means. When you see likewise or wherefore or therefore in the Bible, it's always referring you back to something that just got said. And if you read those verses, here's what you would find, that Jesus was submissive in those verses. That when everyone treated him badly, he didn't fight back, demand his rights, that he was absolutely submissive like a servant. And then, girls, he says, now, likewise, like that, like Jesus didn't fight back, you wives be submissive to your own husbands. Oh, when he says it and when he does it. You said, Brother Floyd, he did it first and he was wrong. That isn't what God said. God didn't say he cared a fig who was wrong first. Can't find that. Just said be submissive. Because when he misuses his authority, daddy's going to take him to the woodshed. Wives, see, the issue is, do you do what God says, whether your husband does or not? Likewise, you wives, be in likewise, like Christ was submissive. You be submissive. Well, wait a minute, Brother Floyd, how can I be submissive? Through Christ. He's in you. Be submissive to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they may without the word be won by your lifestyle, by your living example, like Christ led people to him by his living example. So these are good instructions, girls, on what to do if you're married to an unsaved husband. You can win him by your submitted attitude and your behavior a lot better than you can by preaching at him. Oh, I see. You mean as he sees my Christian life, huh? Right. Well, what if he doesn't see it, much of a Christian life? Well, praise God that if you fail, God loves him enough to send someone else.